Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the realest podcast in the dunya, the three Muslims. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we welcome you all to the stream. How are you guys doing today?
Alhamdulillah, you asking us or you asking the viewers, boy?
They're not mutually exclusive, boy.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, bro. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah, man. Tamam. Doing good. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I think the viewers are doing amazing, bro, now that we're here.
Alhamdulillah. We got Brother Hassan here, says the bearded goats. Barakallahu feekum.
Alhamdulillah. Far from goats, bro. Far from goats.
Alhamdulillah.
But inshallah one day.
Inshallah.
Once we make it to Jannah.
Inshallah,
ya Rab. Inshallah. How's everybody's Ramadan been so far? Alhamdulillah. It's actually crazy, subhanAllah, how fast it's been. How fast everything went by, man. This is what, one, two more days of fasting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
That's it, bro. This was the fastest Ramadan ever.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, the Prophet, he said that the day of judgment will not happen until, I'm paraphrasing, but he said that the hour will not come until, he says something along the lines of, a year is like a month is like a week is like a day, and a day is like an hour. And an hour is like the, like some, he said something along the lines of like the flicker of a candle or something like that. You know, that's how it feels, man. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, this Ramadan has felt like it's only been a week long.
Yeah, wallahi, bro.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept it from us regardless and allow us to meet the next Ramadan, inshallah.
I mean.
Dunya is running like flash. Yeah, 100%. On the day of judgment, we're going to rise after 80, you know, 100 years of being this earth. And we're going to say, we've only been alive, you know, a day or a part of a day or something like that. You know, that's how fast this life goes by. SubhanAllah.
You know what's crazy, bro? These things going on with the whole Matt Walsh and then the whole Chris Tyson controversy. Before we go in to these juicy topics, I did want to ask both of you, what is one thing you guys have learned this Ramadan and reflected on?
I was going to ask you guys the same thing.
Alhamdulillah, bro. I'll go first then. The one thing I learned this Ramadan is gratitude is everything, bro. As soon as we start getting caught in the cycle of ingratitude, focusing on what we don't have instead of being blessed and appreciative of what we do have, the barakah is going to stop coming. Because Allah says, if you're grateful, I will increase you. Now, compare this to somebody that's grateful, even if they're not up, but they're mindful of all the blessings they have in their life, bro. And I think that me and Anhel and Rami had this one realization, and then it was affirmed by the stream we had with Wahab, where he was talking about Surah Waqia and how it's in our nature to lose sight of, you know, gratitude and the blessings that Allah gives us. But may Allah allow us to constantly keep this gratitude, bro, at the forefront of our minds. I mean,
ya Rab. Allahumma ameen. Beautiful reminder. Barakallahu feekum. My reminder, or what I reflected on, is sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran that he's not commanded us except to worship him and to do so sincerely, you know, with full sincerity. And also not half doing things, you know, taking things seriously. I mentioned this hadith before on another stream, but I want to mention it again today. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that Allah has prescribed excellence in everything. And then later in the hadith, he goes on to say, if you have to off somebody or off something, you do it in the best manner. Even something like that, there's a proper way to do it. And if you have to slaughter, like halal slaughtering, then do it in the proper manner. And he says, let one of you sharpen your knife so the animal is spared from suffering. And it really taught me that sometimes when things are not done excellently, people suffer.
Yeah. 100%. That's beautiful, bro. I never thought of it like this.
Barakallahu feekum, bro. How about you, man? Drop some gems for us, inshallah.
Man, okay. So what Faya was saying about the whole being grateful thing, definitely 100%, because I was there with him when we were realizing this together. But the biggest thing that I've been realizing this Ramadan, man, is basically what Allah says in the Quran, where he says that this is all a test, basically. That everything is a test. And he's trying to see, he's trying to distinguish, like, who are the real believers from the hypocrites, from the ones that are, they say they believe, but then when they're tested, they You can tell clearly, like, they don't really believe, you know? And then he talks more into the different stages, right? When you have nothing, and when you're poor, when you have scarcity, and when you have everything, when you have abundance, when you're rich. And it's like everything that he's saying in the Quran is just, it's 100% the truth. But it's crazy that, like, we know it, we read it, we think we understand it. And it's not till now that it hits you where it's like, yeah, when you have nothing, when you have nothing, Allah is literally testing you to see, are you going to be stingy? You have $20 in your pocket. Are you going to be stingy with that $20, thinking that you have no more money, that you have to, like, use this money for what you need to use it for because you don't have any other money? Or are you going to give sadaqah? Are you going to give freely and help those that are actually in more need than you? And then when you have everything, are you going to be extravagant, or are you going to be modest and reserved? You know, are you not going to be, like, outlandish and just spending way too much with this money? You know, it's always a test. Every single thing that's going on is a test. So every single state, whether it's good, whether it's bad, even that's a test. Every blessing, every curse, a test. Like, bro, it's like, let's say you're with your wife and, like, y'all start arguing or something like this. Even that's a test. So why, if you, like, bro, I say this, man, because it's like I'm understanding it now as, you know, being in this Ramadan. But, like, before, I can't say I fully internalized it, like, inside. But, like, if something like this is happening and I understand that it's a test, why would I be moved by it? Why would it trigger me? Why would it make me act in a certain way? If anything, it's like, okay, I understand it's a test. Yeah, you know, things might not be great right now, but it's only a matter of time before it swings full force into the other direction. It's like a pendulum. It goes into one direction, just keeps going like this. And there's this story, this beautiful story that I heard before I was Muslim, that it was about this guy, and I'm definitely gonna butcher the hell out of the story, so please don't take my word for it. But this guy, he had a son, and his son was going to go off to the army. He was being drafted. And everyone in the village was like, oh, like, it's such a shame that your son is being drafted, like, you're not gonna be with him anymore. And he's like, maybe. And then, like, the next day, his son ended up falling off the horse and injuring his I think his elbow or his knee. So he ended up not being able to go to the army. And then everyone in the village was like, oh, isn't it amazing? Like, your son is now here with you, like, you can stay with him. He doesn't have to go to the army. And he said the same thing, maybe. And then they were saying something like, I think the next day his horse, like, ran off, and they're like, oh man, it's such a shame that, like, now you don't have your horse and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, maybe. And then, like, the next day, it's just, bro, like, it's again, it's a pendulum. It goes really good, really bad, really good, really bad. But if when we take it a step further, we understand we're being tested. Every single swing of the pendulum, we are being tested. And subhanAllah, I've been realizing that more and more this Ramadan.
That's a beautiful reminder, man. That's a really beautiful reminder. And I think it really actually ties into the topic today, because it has a lot to do with the decisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. You know, you make decisions, I make decisions. Our decisions are never perfect, man. Our decisions are always flawed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. He has infinite knowledge and wisdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make a decision that's not perfect, that's not the best. Allah only chooses what's best. So anything, no matter how difficult or how easy it is actually perfect for you. Think about that. It's actually perfect for you, because it's the perfect level of testing for you to not completely crumble, unless you yourself don't, you know, want to accept that test and go through it in the way that Allah has told us we should. So, and this goes down to also a biological level. This goes down to a sexual orientation level. This goes down to who we are as individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a very specific way and for a very specific purpose. And I think there's tremendous beauty in that, because without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would be nothing. And if we were just a part of some evolutionary process without God, then we are purposeless beings living purposeless lives, being meaningless people in a meaningless world. And that's very shallow, and that's very sad.
Rami, bro. Allahumma barak. Don't think I didn't notice that segue, bro.
Mubarak fikum.
This is this. You're setting it up for the reaction video. I know you are.
Alhamdulillah. I'm getting there,
yeah.
Inshallah.
Yeah, because we. You're right, bro. We were designed in a specific way, and it doesn't mean that we are discriminatory for any of these tactics and words that they use, but it just genuinely means that if everybody has their right to believe what they want to believe and to see the world the way that they want to see it, then why is it a problem if we are antithetical to the status quo and if we have our own values and beliefs, bro, as Muslims?
Yeah, 100%. And what happened to, you know, agreeing to disagree? We're not, no one's coming out against us. We're not going out against anyone. And it's not about any one individual. It's about a deeper message. Some people have some deeper message against Islam or whatever, and they have their talking points about Islam to get to that point. We're happy to converse with them. We've done it many times before. We'll do it many times in the future, inshallah. We also have talking points against certain movements in the West, liberalism and everything that stems from it, because we fundamentally disagree on things, and that's okay.
Mm.
That's normal. Even Islamically, there is room for debates with even, you know, Jews, Christians, atheists of any group, to be honest. And with that being said, speaking of debates, we actually have a debate right here, not between a Muslim and a member of the LGTV community, but Matt Walsh and the LGBT community or LGTV part.
Come on, bro. All right, bismillah.
Too many letters, man.
Today, anytime we want to refer to somebody that has changed from one thing to another, you just call them the T gang, bro.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, bring it up. Let's bring up the video, inshallah.
Bismillah.
How would you define a woman? Because you've asked other people up here to define how we would define a woman. How would you define a woman, Mr. Walsh?
An adult human female.
Wait, Mr. Walsh, did you just assume his gender?
And also, I'm sorry, let's pause. They're clapping for that.
For the basic truth, basic biology.
Excuse me, professor, what's 1 + 1? 2. Like, yeah, bro, buddy. Come on, man.
The bar is so low, bro. Fuck for a lot.
And how don't trans people, how doesn't a transgender woman fit that definition?
Female. Because they're not female. They have, you said that you are a biological male, correct?
I said I'm transgender. I might be intersex for all we know. About almost as many people in the world are transgender as intersex. And
well,
a lot of people don't know.
Look at the guy in the back behind the trans. I mean, the T. Just look at him, bro. Look how confused he looks.
What was that statement? They just said something
let's,
like...
Let's rewind it.
The world are transgender as intersex. And
well,
a lot of people don't know.
Well, but that's a different conversation. Intersex, that's a genetic anomaly. That's a medical condition. So that's a completely different conversation. That's also not a third gender. That's just a genetic anomaly that occurs within the sex binary of male and female. What you're saying is that a quote unquote trans woman is a female.
By the definitions I'm familiar with, yes.
Of course.
So how would you define female?
Through my training in healthcare, there are several different categories for how we define sex. People bring up chromosomes. People also bring up hormone levels. People bring up all sorts of other categories. Lots of people don't fit neatly into a gender binary, even people we don't consider to be intersex. It's a complicated spectrum.
Yo, he's getting worked up. Anho, man, do you have any thoughts so far?
No.
Nothing, Rami.
Yeah. I do have a few things I want to say. So I think what they mentioned in the beginning is that most people in the world are intersex or something like that. And this is such a straw man.
No, hold on. Most people.
I think that's what they said.
They said as much people as inter is T.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're saying as the amount of people that are inter, like born by birth with both genitalia or...
Yeah.
Non-functioning for either is the same as the amount of people that are trans. That's basically what he said. I don't think he said most people are into.
I see. Yeah, but even that is fallacious. The straw man, because, actually, as Matt Walsh said, these are just offshoots from pre-existing sexes. Mm. Like the most rare one, I think, is XXXY, and it's a chromosomal disorder that only occurs in biological males, right? Mm-hmm. So they're male, but they have a disorder. So that's that, but they're still male. They're still men. And it's the same. And there's actually only 0.5% of the population of the world are born with like identifiable confusing parts.
Hmm.
So 0.5%. So it's Damn. Not like anything.
What if, you know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
What?
It reminds me of the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, yeah?
You guys know this?
What if he came right in front of you and you called him a he, and then he looked at you and demanded that you call him by his proper pronouns? What would you do? Because I genuinely want to know, bro. Like, pronouns is a big topic, and perhaps we can save this for after the actual reaction video itself. But I did want to get both of you to give me your insights, or at least to the viewers, what you would do if somebody demanded you in like a workplace setting, in a school setting, because you could lose your job.
Yeah, before you answer that question, Rami, or myself, or even you, Fayed, why don't y'all check y'all's phone real quick, look at our group message just to make sure we're on the same page, and then by all means, feel free to answer.
Mm. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Rami, you want to go first?
Yeah, inshallah. So they actually made it illegal in Canada to misgender someone and call them by their wrong. Yeah, you can actually face fines in Canada. So I don't know. I have to ask my sheikh about it. I can't answer from an Islamic perspective. From a non-Islamic perspective, or even kind of from an Islamic perspective, you have to obey the law of the land as long as it doesn't go against your religion. So if there's nothing haram about it, then yani, you kind of have to. But if it is haram, then that's a different story. And I don't know. It's a very delicate discussion.
Mm. Okay, what about you, Anu?
I mean, I've been faced with situations like this where I've talked to someone who they've been claiming to be a different gender or a different pronoun or fluid, gender fluid, whatever that is. And I can't really say much. You know, like in the moment, like I see that and I'm just like, I'm like, really? But it's like, I kind of leave it as it is. Like, I'm not going to say anything in that moment because what's it going to do? Just put them on the offense?
Mm-hmm. You there's know? No, there's
like,
no
what,
reason.
What am I going to do? Yeah, what am I going to do? Shove truth into their mouths? Like, down their throats?
They're not ready for that.
No.
Yeah.
I agree, bro. I agree.
Yeah, like, let's get back to the video, inshallah.
Inshallah. Let's put this up.
It's not complicated, but you also didn't define. So what is a woman? What is a female? What do these words mean?
It's complicated, and I know you're not going to like that answer, but that's because there are no simple answers in human biology.
Let me ask you a question.
You guys, let me finish. You guys like to bring up high school level biology classes a lot. I get that a lot. But people who go on to more complicated biology classes will talk about sex as a spectrum.
It's not.
Well, biological researchers would disagree with you.
Well, and they're full of shit, the ones that would say that.
All right.
There are male gametes and female gametes. Oh, I had one last question. I just have one. I have one quick. Can you come back for 1 second? Because this is an important question. You said you're an EMT.
Yes.
Okay. If you're responding to a health emergency. Biological male, somebody with a penis, is having a medical emergency, and they say to you, "I think I'm having a miscarriage." Would you check them to see if they're having a miscarriage? Would you consider that a possibility for them?
Ooh, got him.
No, but that's because some people don't have body parts. Doesn't mean they're not a woman.
Okay.
Sounds like
I want to pause for a second because I actually feel bad. You know, it's difficult being in that kind of position where you're like the only one in the crowd who believes what you're saying or saying something that goes against what everyone else believes, and they're all like booing and ooing and clapping against you, and you could see it on their face. Yeah, it is a very difficult position to be in. Even though we disagree, Yanni, we should still be able to empathize with that, and I think anyone in that situation would feel kind of succumbed by pressure. But based on what they said, I think it's important to, even if we disagree, understand both sides. So there's one side, which is the liberal side. And liberalism at a fundamental level is let anyone do whatever they want as long as they're not hurting anyone else. So from a liberal perspective, if somebody wants to identify as anything in the world, it's not harming anyone. Okay, go for it. But the problem lies in, now you're not hurting on anyone else, but are you enforcing that upon other people? Because what if I identify as like the boss of everyone? Does everyone have to listen to me? Does everyone actually have to treat me like their boss and believe I'm their boss? What if people start identifying as actual animals and dogs? Will people be allowed to be kept as pets and put in cages? And like, is that something that society will actually allow and accept? And is that something that people will account for in terms of the legislation? That's when it becomes problematic. So you have two people or two sides. You have the liberal side who's like, let anyone do whatever they want as long as they're not harming anyone. You have the other side who's saying, okay, that's cool, but there's a limit to it based on things that are objective. And there are things that are objective, like human biology, male and female, and that sex and gender are no different. Because socially speaking, people are making the case that gender is separate from sex. And they can make that case because there's a social realm to it. Right, socially, if people want to introduce a third gender and whatever, they could do that on a social level, because this what comes up in society doesn't have to be objective. You know, our society loves orange, so everyone wears orange. That's not objective. You know, that's what they do, right? So they could do the same thing with gender, but they cannot say it's objective. Sorry, I don't know what just happened. I
boom, guess bro! It's mic drop, bro. As soon as you
bring down the low camera angle, bro.
Even that one cut off, man.
Oof.
It'll be back in a second, inshallah.
Yeah.
Hello,
I like what you say, because you know you're showing a lot of emotional intelligence in regard to this individual. We'll put it in that, this individual who is being put on the spotlight there. But listen, at the end of the day, like Yanni, this person put themselves there. This person knew what they were getting into. This person clearly like was going against the status quo and was trying to say this and this, and trying to go public and trying to say these things, where it's like, if you get put on the spot because of that, I mean, you should have been ready for that. You should have been ready to accept that that wasn't a possibility. So I get it, you know, it's very noble to have emotional intelligence here, but it's also like you can't hide the fact that like this person knew what they were getting into from the rip.
Yeah, 100%. Me personally, I don't know. You can't really blame anyone. There's a whole crowd there of people who are going to, you know, voice their opinion.
And I can understand it, bro. I can understand where you're coming from, because like, bro, anyone, any human would feel some type of way if they were put on the spot like that and made to look this way in front of everyone, bro. That's not an easy situation, so I can feel that, but I can also understand that, like, look, this person knew what was coming.
Yeah, that's fair. I still think that shouldn't stop people from, you know, having respect and having noble conversations, but I understand, you know, Yanni, this is the real world. Not like that real world, like, you know, the Tate and stuff, but you know, alhamdulillah, this is the dunya, this is reality, and not everything goes as planned, alhamdulillah. But like we said, everything's perfect by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah, bro. Imagine somebody from like the 1800s, bro, time traveled, came into this dunya in today's time, saw this video, bro. They would be completely caught off guard. Just unbelievable, bro, that these are things that are even disputed today.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because, I mean, throughout all of history, this has never occurred. As far as I know, I'm not a historian, but to my knowledge, this has never occurred in human history. They've always gone based on traditional gender or sex roles for men and women, males and females. They never had this idea. Yeah, they had people who actually castrated themselves and eunuchs and that stuff. But yani, they were still men at the end of the day. And they knew that. So it's subhanAllah, it is kind of crazy how we've gotten to this point. Now the question is, what are we basing this off of? Are we basing it off of what people feel? Because I have very strong feelings as well. But is that something you have to accept as kind of an objective truth in my reality and your reality? Or are we basing it in things that you and I can also agree on and identify together? That's the question. And until we answer that question as a society, we're going to keep having disagreements and problems. And the biggest issue, and the reason we're talking about this, because there is a societal implication. There is a societal enforcing of this. They're being taught, our kids are being taught this stuff in school. I saw recently that the number of the population for T people between the ages of 13 and 17 has doubled in the last few years. The studies vary in their methods and stuff, so there is room to justify an increase in numbers, but doesn't justify doubling in number.
You know what it is though?
Yeah.
It's the fact that the medical practitioners are, I want to watch my wording here closely, but the fact that it's so open, right? You have a kid, maybe the kid has just like this confusion. Maybe the confusion is stemming from the fact that they are seeing something in person, in school, or just out on the street, or they're just seeing something within their environment, or maybe they're just having these thoughts. So they go to the doctor, or they tell their parents something like this, parents take them to the doctor, and then the doctor's saying, hey, it's perfectly fine to have these thoughts. It's perfectly fine. You know what? Yeah. Let's put you on some
anabolics.
I was going to say beta blockers, but it's not beta blockers. It's puberty blockers. Let's put you on this. Let's put you on hold. We don't know what gender you are. It's okay. Let's put you on hold. You know what? If you want to be a woman, it's okay for you to be a woman. Imagine this. Imagine that openness, that level of openness to a kid who doesn't know what the hell they are doing. They don't even know what they're doing a week from now.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that this kid is going to know what gender they are. So it's like, if you provide that level of openness, that level of choice to a kid which doesn't have the level of maturity, that the consciousness, the awareness, the capacity to be able to fully comprehend what it is that they are deciding and what they're doing, bro, it's a no-brainer that you're going to have the numbers doubling. Bro, watch the next year. Watch the next few years. Triple, quadruple, 10 times. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, 100%. And they always try and back it up by saying, oh, it saves lives. It also takes lives, actually. It also costs lives because of T regret. There have been people who, off themselves because they can't reverse what has been done to them. And this is something that's been enforced by professionals and by their parents, by their loved ones, and by society. So they think it's okay. Then they go down the route and they end up regretting it. And it's your fault. It's your fault. It's not just their fault. It's yours because you enforced it. Now, something else I want to mention is there have been no studies done on the long-term effects of chemical castration, these puberty blockers. There has not been any long-term studies done on it. So they're just giving it to kids, essentially. And mind you, in Canada, without the consent of parents, Canada every day is becoming more and more of, as Jordan Peterson says, a totalitarian, authoritarian rule. And, as Muslims, we're not really for democracy. But even in living in a democratic country, this is not democratic at all. Why are these laws that so many people are against being enforced upon us? We voted this person in. Why can't we vote them out? We voted someone in that's putting these laws in. Why can't we vote it out? It's so sad, subhanAllah. And people just turn a blind eye to it. This is not okay.
Well, bro, you know what there are studies for, though? That the self-deletion rate post-op, in most cases, is higher than pre-op. And this doesn't even talk about those that don't self-delete, but they live their lives in misery, bro. Which is worse than self-deletion if you talk about, suffering and how much pain that they have to put through.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what one of the biggest issues is, right? Is that people think that these things, these thoughts that they're having in their head are going to last for the rest of their life. Whereas, like, what if you were to just give yourself X amount of time, like maybe 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? What if those thoughts completely run their course and you no longer have them? You would have been looking back like, wow, thank God. Like, I'm so grateful that I didn't go and stop myself from going into puberty. I'm so grateful that I didn't chop my
member,
my Johnson off, boy, the schlong. I'm so grateful that I didn't go over here and get implants on my chest. Like, bro, like, it's, again, we as humans, we are constantly changing. So imagine if these people who are, they're just so consumed that they can't see past these thoughts that they're experiencing. They think that these thoughts is like the end all be all. It's everything. It's all or nothing. There is no life after this. Like, it's going to last for the rest of their life. No. We're constantly changing. And if we're constantly changing, that means that in 10 to 15 years, like, you really think you're going to be struggling with the same thing. Like, can you say you're struggling with the same thing now that you were struggling before? Maybe some people, yes. Maybe some people have like an addiction or something like this, but just like a random thought. Maybe like a random thought that like caused you disturbance. And most people can't say this. Mm. But like, I think it was actually confirmed that every 10 years, all the cells within our body are completely new. They've completely changed. So essentially, you're a completely new person 10 years from now.
Mondo, bro. And the same way that they're purporting that sex is a spectrum, bro, we know mental health and mental illness is a spectrum too, bro. There's many things that go on behind the scenes in our mind. And I think one of the big issues today is there's an over-diagnosis of mental disorders. A lot of things are just transient feelings, bro. But you're telling me if I go and I express my transient feelings to my physician, they're going to give me medications, bro, for life. And they're going to tell me, you have this condition, this disorder, bro. This does not happen 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. That was called a bad day.
And keep it very simple. Keep it very simple. Mental disorder. So the first word, mental, it means it's up here. It's in your head. Now, disorder, what's the order? The order is basically a way of thinking, a way of being that doesn't create dis-ease for you. Split the word disease. Dis-ease, you're not at ease. You have thoughts in your head that make you not at ease. That is a mental disorder. That is all it is. It's very simple, man. It's very simple.
Hondo, bro, Hondo. Rami, ready to go back to the video?
I have one more thing, just a rhetorical question to ask.
Inshallah.
Why can't kids, you know, get married or decide who they want to be with the rest of life at the age of 13, 14? Why is that not, you know, socially or legislatively in some cases acceptable? But it's okay for them to completely change their anatomy.
Reason is, bro, we live in an agenda, bro, where they don't want people to have kids. And anything that promotes family values is wanting to have kids, bro. This type of stuff is anti-family values, bro.
It's a rhetorical question, bro. It means that there's no answer.
My forte is answering rhetorical questions, bro.
Yeah, I know.
O-React says, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Look at how we have to tiptoe around speaking the truth. That says all. If your kids are in public school instead of in Islamic school, then don't get mad when you lose them to shaitan.
Oh, boy.
I saw a video very recently, and I won't name who it is or what the video was, but they basically said the same thing. It's like, you know, you send your kids off in some Islamic schools, by the way, you think they're Islamic and they end up not being Islamic. So you send them to these schools and you're like, wow, I wonder why my young man is now saying he's a woman and all this stuff. It's because you neglected them for so many years and put them basically in the public sphere to be taught whatever the public is going to feed them.
Yeah. And bro, this is the West. This is the West, right? It's only getting worse. So if y'all live in the West, y'all should start, you know, thinking about this, praying, and really considering getting out of the West. There's before I was Muslim, there's this one song that I had heard where it said that people come to the West to live in the West, but they spend so much time here that it's like they don't even consider like leaving because they think they're part of the system. They think they can change the system. The system is not going to change. You're not going to change the system. The only way that you can change anything is by leaving the system. And how do you leave the system? You leave the West. You go somewhere else. There's many places in this world, man. And Allah said it best. Hey, man. Allah said it best in the Quran. He said, was this world not sufficient enough, large enough for you to find another place to live? Definitely butcher that, but you know.
Yeah. 100%.
And I generally think, bro, when it comes to specific things like this LGTV, electronics movement, you got the T-Gang, all this cognitive dissonance, bro. People are confused, and a big reason behind this is watching haram videos, bro. You know, many people don't know that when you watch haram videos, it almost plants seeds that weren't there before, bro. Because you're looking at your same sex, you're looking at another man as a man, being intimate with a woman, astaghfirullah. And when you condition yourself to be aroused to that, it's only a matter of time, bro. You're this close, bro, before you start experimenting and entertaining different thoughts and maybe even actions, bro. And this brings us to our sponsor of this video, Alhamdulillah, the Ummah Academy. Go in, boy.
Hey, man. He's struggling with pornography addiction or any sexual addiction for this matter. What the hell are you doing? There's no time to be going back and forth in the same place over and over again. If you're in the same place that you were several years back, bro, you got to take a step, man. Take a step back. Ask yourself, why are you still in the same place? After you answer that, head over to our website, the Ummah Academy, inshallah, and sign up, be a part of it. It's 100% money back guaranteed the first month if you find that it's not for you. But it provides you everything, provides you a 3-month course where you are being guided every single day for you to get over this addiction, and you will have access to a whole community of brothers who are also going through the same thing and a whole bunch of other good stuff. So by all means, if this is for you, click the link in the description box down below. If it's not for you, share it with someone who it is for. Get some ajr. It's almost the end of Ramadan. Get some ajr before the time is done. Inshallah.
That's what it is, bro. And to this lovely, beautiful Habibi over here, if you could do better, then do better, bro. If not, keep it moving. Come on now.
We've established there are some people who, in principle, can get pregnant, and there are some people who can't. So there's two categories, otherwise known as binary.
Lots of women can't get pregnant either.
Yeah, but they're still of the nature to get pregnant. The only
but
reason
they can't get pregnant.
Yes, but
truth matters, right?
It does. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Truth matters, and they can't get pregnant. That's the truth. So how are they still women?
Because they are for the same reason that I can rightly say that human beings have two legs. And if a person is born with only one leg, that doesn't call into question the statement that human beings have two legs, okay? A person being born with one leg doesn't mean that now legs are on a spectrum, and we can't say anything at all about how many legs a person has. Who knows? They could be a centipede. You know, they could have 100 legs. No, we know human beings have two legs. If a human is born without two legs, something went wrong. They were supposed to have that second leg. Something went wrong. If you meet a person on the street who only has one leg, maybe they had an accident. Maybe they were in war. Maybe something, you know, maybe they were in a car accident. Maybe they had cancer. A leg was cut off. But you know that something went wrong because by their nature, they're supposed to have two legs. Same thing for a woman. A woman by her nature can get pregnant. A man by his nature never can. So if you meet a woman of childbearing age, say she's 28 years old, and she can't get pregnant, you know automatically that something has gone wrong. And she can go to the doctor and find out what that thing is, even if they can't fix it. So that proves that women by their nature can get pregnant, because the simple fact that she can't shows you that there is something wrong. This is what is known as the exception that proves the rule. Whereas if a male with a penis can't get pregnant, no doctor on earth is going to run tests to see what's wrong with him. Because they already know it's that he's a male, and there's only male and female, those who can get pregnant and those who can't. So, all right, that's it. That's...
All right. Very interesting, and I think a very fitting end to the conversation. It's very clear cut, it's very solid, and it's based in reality. Again, one person's coming from a liberal perspective of let everyone do what they want. If they want to define woman this way, let them do it. Another person is going by not just the book or the textbook, but by something that is objectively verifiable in reality. I like the example he gave of human beings have two legs. It's so sad that we have to result to such basic examples and basic analogies to deduce very simple, basic points of human nature, things that have been universally accepted forever, literally, as long as humans have existed. But regardless, it was a very good point. Any thoughts?
I just want to stay as quiet as possible, bro.
Yeah, you tend to do that.
This file is getting to me, bro. I don't even know how we're going to do Mr. Beast.
Don't be weak, man. Come on. What's wrong with you? Fasting is nothing, bro. People used to fast in the 1400 years ago in the desert. They used to travel and do all these crazy things, man. Come on, man. They used
probably
to work in the sun.
Probably the sleep deprivation, bro.
So may Allah make it easy for you.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do the Mr. Beast as soon as we've done this.
Inshallah. So, I mean, listen, it's not about any one individual. And nobody should be insulting anybody. That's not going to get anywhere. We should just stick to the concepts and the ideas and the ideologies and deal with things on an ideological level. There's an ideological war happening right now. Wars are not always physical. Sometimes they're ideological. And you have to deal with the ideological level or on the ideological playing field. So I'm not going to repeat myself, but with what I mentioned before with the liberalism, and I'm not going to say being conservative. That's not what I'm going to talk about Islam, because I'm not talking about the liberal party. I'm talking about the ideology that both liberals and conservatives have, which is liberalism. This ideology was founded before like America. It's something that, or maybe around the same time, in like the 1700s. And it's the idea that everyone should be able to do what they want. And Islam came 1400 years ago. And it said, humans need to live by the rule of God. Not the way the church did it, because they were men making it up. But God decides and men enforce. Or I'll say it again. God decides and men enforce. And by men, I mean men and women. You know, human beings enforce the law. And until we live in the way that God has designed us to live in, we're not going to be happy. Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَتَطَمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطَمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. He says, those who believe and whose hearts are content with the remembrance of God, indeed with the remembrance of God, the hearts find ease, or the hearts find contentment. And this is a very simple thing. There are studies done on this. People who believe in God are happier. People who don't believe in God are more depressed, more sad. Depression rates are going up as our society is becoming more godless. It's very clear. The studies and the data show this. So come back to God, you'll come back to contentment and happiness. Going from God, you'll further down, straight down the path of sadness and depression. So again, it's not about any one individual, but the general ideas. So when I bring up the situation, we're not here to discuss any person, but as a person who's involved in the situation on a big playing field that they are on, this has to be discussed. So I'm going to quickly pull it up here, inshallah.
That was one hell of a disclaimer, bro.
Yeah, gotta make it clear. Some people need to hear it 2-3 times, you know. So, Chris Tyson is the person who works for or with Mr. Beast on his channel. You probably all will recognize him if you watch Mr. Beast. And what you don't know is that in 2017 he put out a series of tweets. Now, again, yes, this is in 2017, so years ago. But I don't think he has been on the public record apologizing to the Muslim community or retracting these egregious statements that he made. So first one, here you could see an event that occurred, a very catastrophic event. It was very, very heartbreaking. And he, for some reason, feels it's fit to post that, you know, don't say you love the anime if you haven't read the manga, inciting that, oh, it's Islam that did this. Not political warfare, not the wars that were waged in the Middle East by the West. not hateful, spiteful ideology that's backed by political reasons, not religious ones. But yes, let's just throw it down to religion. Next, we have him tweeting about what happened at the Ariana Grande concert 4 years ago, saying, "Why the bleep do we even take Islam serious? It's an old backwards religion that hates anything different and treats women like bleep. Why do people still accept it?" So in a tweet, this is funny, in a tweet where he's saying Islam doesn't accept anything, he's completely rejecting all of Islam and all of the Muslims. A very hateful tweet to fight a hateful religion. What is this? What is this? And I don't even want to talk about the fact that he has a clear misconception of Islam, and he's just playing on the same talking points that people have been throwing. But what I really want to mention is, let me pull up one more time. This. Someone put out a video about him, about Chris becoming a woman now, identifying as a woman, and saying it's going to be a problem for Mr. Beast. And this is what Mr. Beast replied. "This is getting absurd. Chris isn't my nightmare. He's my friend and things are fine. All this T-phobia is starting to piss me off." So how come this T-phobia is pissing you off when it comes to your friend, but his own or their own Islamophobia in 2017, there is no reprimanding of that? You didn't say anything about that. You didn't call anyone out for that. Unless you had a private discussion with them, I don't know. There is nothing done. There is no public apology. So why is, you know, why is there this discrepancy when there's someone you work so closely with? Now, I think it's too much to push Mr. Beast for something he has like basically nothing to do with, because it's not him, it's not his life, it's not his decision. So I think people need to back off on him. But I wanted to call this out because I do think it's a discrepancy that he calls one kind of phobia out and not the other, one kind of discrimination out and not the other. So I think that is fair to hold him accountable to. Everything else, and aside from that, I don't think people should try and cancel Mr. Beast. They've been trying to for so long. I think he does a lot of great work. He's done so much more than a lot richer people have in the past, a lot more successful people, you know, have done in the past. He's cured or helped cure a lot of blind people through paying for their medical procedures. He's done a lot of good, and I think people just want reasons to hate on him. And I think that's absolutely absurd and messed up. So I think we should, within what's reasonable, have this discussion about him and about some of the claims that Chris has made. Any questions?
No. No questions.
Yeah. Inshallah, starting next week, we'll have a call-in show every Wednesday. So stay tuned for that, inshallah. Because it would be nice to get some people on here to chat respectfully, bro, about this topic.
Yes.
Is there more, bro?
Everyone.
I think it's best that we take a few comments and end off the stream here. We've discussed a lot and made a lot of points.
Okay.
And we don't want to delve too deep into anyone's personal life.
That's true.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you're not insulting, you're not making fun of, you're not doing anything like this. You just, you're calling a spade a spade. You know, you're saying how it is.
Yeah.
And it has to be this way. It has to be this way, especially in the day that we live in. And just, you get the picture, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of calling a spade, one last point I want to mention in light of everything I've mentioned before is, I think the worst part about liberalism and liberal governments is they don't care if you hurt yourself. That's why some of them allow like you to, you know, like assisted suey.
Gotcha. Right?
They don't care about you. You can drink yourself until you're offed from this world. You can really, they don't care. If you're in the middle of the street with a knife or something, yeah, you got a bunch of cops pointing their guns at you. Some of them are nice, some of them are mean. Someone's trying to help you, some don't care. They're just trying to protect the public or whatever. That's why they pull their gun and not a taser. But, you know, with everything else, they don't care what you do to yourself. You can mess yourself up in every way to Sunday, and they don't care. As long as you don't push religion onto anyone, literally, as long as you don't push religion or strict ideology onto anyone, they don't care. So that's something to keep in mind when you're evaluating these liberal ideologies and your way of living. And by the way, this is why Islam is a lot more superior. And we can, inshallah, discuss that maybe on next week's stream, why Islam is superior than the Western way of life.
Inshallah, yeah, inshallah.
What a shame, man. What a shame, Chris. May Allah genuinely guide everyone, bro. Ameen.
Allahumma ameen. Ameen. And as a cherry on top, like I always mention, Europe was a dying nation. Yes, Europe was dying, East and West. They were at war with each other. They were dying. And the Islamic way saved them because they translated all the Islamic books and the Islamic method and Islamic law and Islamic philosophy and Islamic science and math and all this stuff. And they translated it into their language and they took it and they adopted it and then they ended up progressing themselves. The Age of Enlightenment would not have existed without Islam. We would be technologically regressed by 300 years if it wasn't for Islam. We wouldn't have MacBooks. We'd have typewriters right now if it wasn't for Islam. You wouldn't be seeing the stream. You'd have to come all the way from wherever you are to come see us discuss in person.
Hey, but it's a backwards religion, man. They don't accept anything new, so yeah. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Can't do much with that.
So messed up. Astaghfirullah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I, with all due respect, I would love to educate Chris and anyone who has that mindset on what Islam actually believes, because you can't really blame them unless they intentionally refuse to look into Islam. They're taught something, and he probably went through it himself, you know, experiencing that day in September. He was a probably young boy. He experienced it himself, and maybe he was traumatized by it. But what we need, inshallah, is to educate people with love and compassion and be nice and merciful until given a reason to be harsh, and then we could be harsh. But there's no reason right now, inshallah, so I don't want to see anyone insulting anybody. And with that being said, I think, inshallah, we are safe to wrap up. What do you guys say?
Yeah, is no one leaving any questions or anything like this?
Not really. Thoughts on Modin? Like, nothing really.
No, none of this.
All right. Then, khalas, if you guys made it this far, by all means, just stay tuned. We got some good stuff coming out with this call-in show. We have a channel refresh. Like, expect big things, inshallah.
Inshallah, ya Rab. And let's end off, as always, with a beautiful dua for us and the people. Inshallah, if you guys are ready. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should have started with this dua, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala untie the knots from our tongues and expand our chests and allow us to speak the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and our mess-ups. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct us and allow us to correct ourselves. May Allah forgive us and grant us our good deeds on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and our loved ones and those who we know and those who we don't know to the truth of Islam and allow it to resonate nice and smoothly in the hearts of everyone. Allahumma ameen. And at the end of the day in life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the punishment of the hereafter in the grave. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen. And with that being said, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we will see you guys on the next
one. Oh, we got a super.